Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, actor Brian Mulvey, I suppose better known to some of you from Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them and The Last Duel, is with me in studio today. Because, Brian, you had a fairly big change in your own life recently, but I suppose a lot of it stemmed from your son's autism diagnosis. When was your son diagnosed?
Hi, Andrew.
How are you?
Good, thank you. He was diagnosed 3 years ago. He's rising six now. He'll be six in July. And his preschool teacher brought it to our attention. She had seen a lot of it before. She's not qualified to diagnose anything or anything, but she had seen a lot of... she had experience relating to children who might be neurodivergent and to break it to us. And she was wonderful, Gina in Enniskerry. And she brought it to our attention. She was very... Dealing with the parents is sometimes worse than the actual with the kids. But we took it all on board, myself and my wife, Jenny. She's brilliant. We got Kit assessed, tried publicly. There was no availability for a psychologist or the teams for about 4 years. There's a 4 to 5, 6, 7 year waiting list sometimes. But we got it done privately. We were fortunate enough we were able to do that. And he got diagnosed with autism, a neurodivergent. And he's not on the severe scale of things. And it's just, I suppose, we find a way, trying to find our way through it each day at a time to see how he can get through the world in a very neurotypical, standardized world to allow him to.
When Gina that you mentioned in the preschool or in the creche, came to you and your wife, what sort of, I suppose, symptoms or signs or characteristics had she spotted?
So he would have stimmed, which is where you'd see autistic people maybe flapping, or it's regulating. It's they might run up and down, they might turn, and what it is, it's just a stimulation, or staring, stopping and suddenly staring, like
for prolonged
to neurotypical people. Yeah, it would look like just dropping out or that, and making a vocal. Stims as well, like making noises with your throat and that, and gestalt learning. So when he started learning words, he'd learn in phrases and in chunks from TV or from stories and that he hears, like audiobooks and stuff like that, that we'd go to bed with him with. So that's kind of how their character develops as well, and they get in hyper focus on the stuff that they're really interested in, like TV wise and stories and that.
So you brought him, you got a diagnosis, you went, as you said, privately to do that. Mm-hmm. And where, because as you mentioned, often Gina and other creche workers, I suppose, that might maybe have an idea or see the signs and symptoms, as you said, they often find it nearly more difficult or are more concerned about telling the parents, because exactly. You probably go into a place in your life of, there's worry, there's access to services, there's school, there's a whole host of things then that present themselves.
Yes, there is. And but I think to fall into the HSE system, you'll be waiting a long time, and there's a lot of support groups and a lot of advocacy from parents that set up, like Neurodiversity Ireland, who are great support on WhatsApp. And Kit does OT camp with them, and they're brilliant, and he thrives. That's when we saw him thriving, and his school as well, in Kirtlestown National School, which is just amazing. And we were worried about where we could put him when he went to big school, and he's in junior, infants now, and he's in with his sister who's in first class. They're all in the same class together. It's
small local school.
It's wonderful, idyllic, and they're brilliant up there. And he thrives there. Again, he's not the more extreme side of neurodivergence and autism. He has his interests in that, but we'd love him to become more social, and just so he doesn't have to feel out of place in our neurotypical world.
After Kit's diagnosis, you started to look at yourself, Brian.
Well, we were with a psychologist, and you go through a checklist, like multi-question and answers.
Multiple choice.
That's what I'm thinking of. Thank you. And I was just getting, I could feel Jenny looking at me every time and going, That's you.
Really,
you.
Yeah.
And then it started all falling together. And even Kit, as he gets older, I see myself in him, in his imagination. And there's a thing, I'm going to forget all the abbreviations. it's an immediate no to everything, basically.
Right.
And bits you can control and bits you can't control. And autistic people tend to hold on to the bits they can control. And I tend to do that a lot. I don't like being taken out. I don't like surprises, basically.
Yeah.
Like socially, I hate surprises. Like weddings and stuff would have been very difficult for me to... I just go no to Jenny. And she'd go, oh, what's wrong with you? Being awkward, difficult, this, that, and the
yeah.
other. But now that you understand that that's what it is, it's a lot easier to go to them. And it's okay to feel that you don't want to be put in those situations.
Yeah, because I imagine for, you know, a lot of people and they might be listening to this and you know, you're you know, I don't mean your stage of life, but, you know, at kind of when we're that bit older, we're not kids.
There's a lot less road in front of me than there is behind me.
But, you know, people might ask, I suppose, why, what is the benefit of having the diagnosis now, you know, at our age or at your age?
To me, it's just a comfort in your own skin. You might have felt like, I know an awful lot of people suffer, especially in this day and age or in Western cultures, with mental health issues. Now, this isn't mental health issues. And I can empathise probably with people who suffer from depression, that kind of thing. And it must be very difficult to live with. Now, I'm not equating my experience at all to any of that. I'm not. But I think differently and I need information processed differently. And you need different allowances, mainly in terms of time and that and socially and that kind of thing. And you won't always, you've this inherent sense of justice, you've an inherent sense of existential nearly. I'm not trying to get too highbrow about it, but the world matters as opposed to what's right in front of you, where it's our system, it's what's right in front of you, get your bills paid, get your this, you all have to, what are you doing later, what are you doing now? Where we kind of see in a bigger picture. The weather is more important than who we're going to vote for in the local elections, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Has it changed? Like, now that, you know, so you've had your formal, your diagnosis.
I haven't. But at this stage, it's academic. You can put the mortgage on it. But what it means for me is that I can just kind of relax. You don't have to be performative and you don't have to, it's okay. And I'm not saying you'd be a bit of a jerk or anything around, but you're not at all. It's just, you're allowed to be yourself, basically. Mm. And it's a nice feeling.
Did it kind of explain things to you?
Oh, it did. Yeah. My whole childhood. Like,
really?
Yeah. I thought I'm left-handed, so I was always called odd and awkward. And I'm the youngest of three. Like, my brother would be very sporty. He'd be brilliant with a ball. Put a ball and he'd be brilliant. Our oldest sister, she is academically through the roof.
Yeah.
And intelligence to burn, whereas I'm the runt.
That's it all.
Like, academically in school, I was dreadful. I went through it all. I wanted to be a jockey. I'm 6'3". That's all I wanted to be. You know, and when I knew I couldn't be, not because I was too tall or too big, because I was rubbish. You have to be able to ride. You have special interests as well, being autistic. You've special focus. And mine was jockeys and horses growing up. And most people, it was football and for lads, you know. And I was obsessed with jockeys. And I'm not horsey. I'm not from racing. We're actually, I just want to plug a charity race for riding in July. I'm riding in for the Injured Jockeys Fund. All jockeys would have been my heroes growing up. And there's 14 brave riders taken to the field on Oaks weekend in the Curragh. Same day as the All-Ireland, actually. And my mother's Limerick, so hopefully there's a double there for 5 in a row with Limerick.
Yeah.
So donations all to the Injured Jockeys Fund, people.
Okay. Yeah. But you found acting, though. Like, that's where your career is.
Yeah. Well, the autism makes sense because you learn gestalt, which is like learning in blocks, and you don't know how to behave. So my whole life I would have looked at you or whoever, but not stared at you. Like I said in the article in the Indo that there's a cliche with actors you always hear going, oh, we just love, you know, putting our sunglasses on, sitting outside coffee shops, airports, looking at people, watching people and how they behave. That's literally what I did growing up, was just to see how to behave and how to, because neurotypical behavior, it's all handshakes, eye contact, gesture, and that makes us feel terribly uncomfortable. And it's just for film acting, as I said in the article as well, I couldn't stand on a stage. I wouldn't know where my point of focus is or where with a camera. It's all subtleties and human behaviour that you can't hide from.
And a learned behaviour, I suppose, too.
Learned, completely. I'm not going to get, it's not what is method or anything. You know, it's just trying to reflect what people feel and behave.
Yeah. So day to day, Brian, I suppose, now that, like, that, you know, Kate and your son Kate obviously has his diagnosis, and for you now, is there a different kind of a bond or relationship there now?
Everyone's mad about him. He has a charisma about him that people, like, we were in Spain on our holidays, looking enough, last week, and whatever it is about Spanish people, and he looks like a little Spanish kid in a ball of hair. Now, it might be perceived as a great one, but strangers, we just sat inside and they all just, whether it's man, woman, they'd be just rubbing his head and that kind of thing. And
right.
They're mad about him at school. Anyone that knows him is just mad about him.
Yeah.
He has that kind of energy. And we just want to keep that he gets to live as comfortably as he can. And I know there's a million parents and a million different children and kids that are way worse off, that don't have the sports we have or the community we have. So I'd urge them to try and find a community, because the government or the HSE, I won't say doing their best, but the you need to find support.
Yeah.
And
find the groups.
Exactly. And they're great. They're great. WhatsApp groups, the suggestions and that. Now, there can be too much information as well. And
yeah.
Everyone's circumstances are completely individual.
Long lists and no doubt about that. We hear that quite a lot. You know, I suppose a number of people with high profiles in the last year or two, I would say, even kind of anecdotally, have, you know, talked about their autism diagnosis and, you know, why they got it maybe at a different stage in life or later stage in life. And maybe we just know more now than we did years ago. But would you encourage others listening today who, you know, maybe think, do you know what, like, oh, I could benefit from this? Yeah.
There's a clip of Vittorio, he's a Belfast comedian, and his agent said to him, you know, this neurodivergency is a big thing, you know, and it can help your career. You couldn't go out and catch the autism, could you?
And this is
no, he was diagnosed. He is autistic. I just thought that was very funny that there's a surge in it, but it's, sure, it's like measuring for left-handed people. Until they started measuring for left-handed people.
Yeah, I know.
The graph went up.
You wanted to mention, though, the neurodivergent group that you...
Neurodivergent Ireland, yeah. They're brilliant. They're a great support group. They do the OT camp that Kit goes to. And Jack and the gang in there are just amazing with them. They're highly qualified, brilliant. And it's so hard
to get. Support, though, I imagine.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. And all the kids thrive in there.
Well, it's great to hear. Yeah, it's absolutely great to hear. Brian, listen, it's been lovely to meet you. Thanks a million for...
Can I just get a quick plug in today for my sponsors who got on board for the race? They're brilliant. Synoptic Communications, the best in the business. Sorry.
There you go.
Thanks a million.
Brian Mulvey, thanks a million, Brian, for joining us here in studio today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.